It really is the mission of enjoy more time outside. And that's kind of a core tenet that runs through everything that ODEER does. And so that's what we want for people. We want them to be able to be outside, to get, you know, that sunlight exposure, things along those lines, shake hands, kiss babies, but in real life.
Hello, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to the latest edition of Fran Coach's Franchising 101 podcast. I am Tim Parmeter, founder and CEO of Fran Coach and your podcast host. Today, we're going to welcome in one of our franchise partners to discuss their brand. Today's featured franchise is an emerging franchise, growing at a very smart, responsible pace. In case you missed the one we talked about last week with some grands and not doing that. But this franchise has a very, very simplistic recurring revenue model, low overhead, and very scalable. Part of their service offerings are ones we all know about and probably pay someone to do something for it, but they also have a couple unique kind of niches that are really underserved and are able to kind of kill it with their customers with this. Before we get to the franchise, quick reminder of who we are. Fran Coach is the premier franchise consulting firm. Our number one goal is to not sell you a franchise. We don't sell anything. Our number one goal is to properly educate you on franchise ownership to help you determine if you should own one. If so, we're going to help you find your absolute best fit. Not my best fit, not anybody else's, your best fit. This is perhaps the most individualized and personalized process you will ever go through, and it needs to focus on you. That's what we're going to do here at Fran Coach. But now let's get to our guest. Hey, we are back here on the Franchising 101 podcast with our wonderful guest today. Joining us is the Vice President of Franchise Development for our featured franchise, which is ODEER. Joining us is our good friend, Jeremy Shelton. Jeremy, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, happy to, Tim.
I am excited to talk to you, and we'll see how many different kind of ways we can weave ODEER just into the normal conversation, which I'm sure you are probably done to the point of being sick of it, but doesn't mean I won't still try. But want to hear all about the brand, but always think franchising is a people industry, people business. I like to hear kind of the stories. So before we get to ODEER, tell us the Jeremy story. How did you get into this crazy world of franchising?
Man, it was a long time ago. I grew up, my parents were both franchisors. So they started a franchise way back in the days when medical coding and billing wasn't quite electronic yet. I still remember my parents had this, they have this plastic box that you would open up, and it had the FDD in it. It had a VHS tape of their promo video. That's awesome. So kind of got experience to it way back then when I was the unpaid file clerk. And then kind of fast forward, I went off to join the military. My mother went back to law school. We both kind of ended that at about the same time. She started her own firm, and I was her first, in the beginning, unpaid marketing intern. And so we would we'd go out and find franchises or find businesses that could be franchises. It kind of started out there. And then from then, I've been kind of all throughout franchising. On the franchise development side, franchisor side. I was with FranNet for a short stint. My dad had a FranNet territory. So I've been in franchising now for, 16 years.
Gotcha. And in some way, shape, or form, kind of your whole life, right? So, yeah. And you kind of slipped in the other. I did not know about you. You were in the military. What branch were you in?
Army.
Thank you for your service. As you well know, that also that background translates really well to franchising. Been in this a while, and you mentioned kind of your propensity for unpaid gigs. If you need another one, let me know. We got a spot for you here at Fran Coach. Tell us a little bit about ODEER. So right off the bat, like, what the heck is ODEER? What are the services? And talk a little bit about it from that standpoint.
Yeah, so ODEER, we're a home services company. We started back in 2007. is when Kurt first launched the very first product. And we do, it's an all-natural pest control company. So we focus on deer, tick, and mosquito control. And so people often get a little confused about the deer control thing. And what that is it's just keeping deer from eating the things that you spent money to put in your yard. And,
okay.
And so it's a protectant kind of barrier that says, hey, my hostas are now protected from these, from nature's largest pest type of a scenario. And then on the tick and mosquito side, it's protecting everyone from the disease carrying insects that have kind of ravaged this lovely country of ours.
Gotcha. So the mosquitoes and ticks, we don't mind killing, but we don't want to kill Bambi. We just want to keep Bambi from eating the things that we don't want them to eat in our yard.
Correct. Yeah, it was. So funny story. We were at the IFA last year and our senior director of operations, Todd, is talking to somebody about what a deer is and things like that. And they come back and they're like, so how are you killing the deer? And Todd just goes, shotgun. But yes. One of the biggest misnomers is we don't actually harm deer at all. It's basically an all natural product that makes it smell bad and taste terrible.
Gotcha. Okay. So they can still come through your yard. And as I know you know my wife really well, but at her house, there are deer that will roam through the backyard periodically, which is very cool. Cause it's like, she's in a suburb of Tampa, Florida. We're in the city. Yet there's all this wildlife that kind of rolls through there. So, not that she's got anything growing in the backyard that's of importance. But if there was, we could use Odeer, make sure that the cute little deer can still roll through the backyard. We can still see them. They're just not eating anything important. So,
correct.
Okay, cool. So we're doing all these things. That's kind of the business model. Talk a little bit about what we're looking for. I guess right off the bat, there's sometimes this misconception in franchising that the owner is always the doer, always has all this background and experience and pest control or whatever. Is that the case for you guys? What are some of the things that you're really focused on?
Yeah, so we're focused on finding people that are people's people. The actual service that you're performing, things like that, we can teach. It's not an overly complicated business. That's one of the beauties of it.
Yeah.
But I'm really looking for somebody that has the personality to make connections. We rely heavily on just kind of customer referrals and things like that. So think like the mayor of a small town type mentality of like, I know everybody, I can talk to anybody, but not in a salesy way. We're not an extremely salesy business when it comes to our customers or to our free and dev process. It's more about kind of making that relationship and kind of leveraging that trust to kind of continue the business forward.
Gotcha. Okay. The owners, I'm sure as in most businesses, are going to learn all aspects of it. They're going to learn how to, you know, do the work that's being on the truck and all of that. But is that the goal for the owner to be out there actually as the doer, or are you wanting them to hire somebody ideally?
So the way that we've kind of structured everything is we want owner operator only. So we don't even make a semi-absentee claim at any point in time. But the first kind of 8 to 12 months, we want that franchisee to kind of know what their business is on an intimate level. At the end of that 8 to 12 months, they're going to figure out which part of their business that they like and which part that they want to hire out for. And then we highly encourage them to hire out for that. When we look at the business, we're really looking for people that want that intimate understanding of the business, but also want to build an empire. Our largest franchisee is operating 25 trucks, a ton of employees. He's not out there spraying every day.
Yeah.
And so we want somebody that has that future mindset of like, okay, I'm doing this today so that I can be a better empire builder down the road.
Gotcha. Okay. Talk a little bit about that. Cause there's, I think as you're saying, hey, we want somebody really heavily involved early, can kind of make somebody go, oh, I don't have any room to grow. Yet we've got somebody who started that way and now has 25 trucks. Mm-hmm. What are some of the things you guys are doing as a franchisor to help people understand that timeline of, hey, here, maybe in that first year, be really more active, be out there doing some of the jobs, but here's how we get you to 25 trucks.
Yeah. So great question. We do a lot of things early on with the franchisees to help them realize what they need to do to get there. Now, we do that kind of threefold. One is our senior director of operations is helping them really understand from day one, budgeting, forecasting, making those goals, how to track whether you're on pace for that goal or not. And that goal is unique to you. If you as a franchisee are like, hey, the first 2 years, like I want to grow a little slower, I'm not ready to build that empire yet, then we're going to make goals that kind of align with that. Then on the marketing side, Brian is going to work with them on like, hey, here's how many customers you need. Here's the conversion rate you need to hit in order to meet this goal that you've kind of created with Todd. And then we also do a mentorship program where those franchisees are working directly with another franchisee. And so that other mentor franchisee is leaned into that whole process as well. It's just kind of like a checks and balances of like, hey, in order to really get there,
oh, nice.
I've walked this road, I've done this. Have you considered this guerrilla marketing technique? Or, hey, you're focusing on something that seems really important today, but it's actually not important to your growth type of a scenario. And just kind of, we have all three of those approaches to kind of help them reach their goals.
Awesome. I love it. And you talk about the kind of those marketing goals is, and the metrics that go with that. It's not just you should probably spend this amount of money. It's being able to go, this is how many customers you want. You know, the conversions from all the historical data to know this many customers, you need to be spending approximately this amount of money. Is that kind of how that works?
Yeah. Yeah. So we have all of that data. We do a really good job of knowing who our customer is on a pretty intimate level, and how to target them. More secret sauce things about Odeer is that intimate knowledge of who that customer really is, because we do need to know who that customer is, since we're not one of the mosquito brands that has it in the name. So we rely on education and kind of just knowledge of who we are in order to get out there and get those customers in. So we do a lot of tracking and things along those lines.
Is it a truly different customer than, again, there's what, I don't know, 5,000 franchises that just say the word mosquito in it, right? I might be exaggerating slightly, but I don't think much sometimes, right? So is it truly a different customer, or what's that look like?
So I would say it's different buying signals between customers. So when we're out there looking for a customer, they really care about a few things. And it's enjoying more time outside. It's that it's all natural. It's safe for them, safe for their pets, those sorts of things. And so those are the people that we target primarily. We typically tend more towards larger homes, larger yards, things along those lines, just because of the difference in how we spray. And so it's really just kind of getting granular and targeting those people, the people with kids, the people with dogs, the people with, you know, the little bit more disposable income, that type of a thing. And so we don't really compete with a lot of the other brands because of those slight variations and kind of who our customer is versus kind of the customer that we typically see head over that direction.
Gotcha. Is there anything from a geography standpoint that is better or worse for Odeer?
I would say we're typically suburban and suburban adjacent. None of our territories are downtown territories. And so we look for those areas that have a little bit more green space, that might have a little bit more water nearby, those types of things. Because it is an all-natural product, we don't experience as many of the aquatic setback requirements and things like that that chemical companies do. And so we try and find those areas that are just universally good for the brand. We kind of target those first.
Okay. Probably not a lot of deer running around in downtown LA necessarily, but again, that totally makes sense. And then anything, there are some things where you think about outdoor businesses having some level of seasonality to it. Kind of walk us through that a little bit, because I think it's usually not nearly as seasonal as people realize, but there actually can be some advantages to that. So how does that work with Odeer?
Yeah, so we have the beauty of having kind of two different pest types that seem to be on alternate schedules. And so it definitely, you know, when we look at spring, summer, that's when everybody thinks mosquitoes and all of those things. The interesting thing about ticks is that anytime it's above freezing, they can be active. And so we actually do have winter tick control, things along those lines. Whether there's snow on the ground or not, we can still perform that service to help protect people when it comes into spring. So there is a little bit of seasonality in certain aspects of the business, but we are truly a year-round business thanks to deer and the winter tick control, things along those lines. Because deer are typically most active when it comes to feeding, winter, fall, and spring, summer. They feed on different things. And so while the clientele might change, we might have one customer that has, you know, a very tasty buffet of fall, winter deer food. And we might have another customer that has, you know, that same spring, summer type of thing. But the revenue pretty much stays consistent throughout the year, the ability to create revenue.
Gotcha. The deer aren't exactly hibernating for 6 months. So they still need to eat, and you still don't want them to eat what you paid for. Right. So, okay, cool. Talk a little bit about that kind of that startup part, right? We've got the owner. We know they're very hands-on. Is it just them typically at the beginning? Are we hiring anybody else? What's that startup like?
Yeah, I would say franchisees start up a little different from one to the other, but it's typically one to two people. So we have franchisees that'll start up and they kind of handle everything. The back office side of Odeer is just as kind of simple as the front office side. It's a lot of recurring revenue. Once you sign up, credit card information saved. There's not a whole lot of moving parts on the back end. And so you can really kind of focus on performing that service, getting new customers, that type of a thing. On average, we'll see people start to look at hiring their first person like 6 to 7 months in. Okay. And it's once they've been able to identify like, hey, I really like being in the field. I don't like doing X. Yeah. Or, hey, maybe now it's time for me to get a spray tech to be able to expand type of a scenario. And so it kind of varies from franchisee to franchisee. But the early days are arguably not as stressful as I've seen in other brands I've worked with.
Right.
But they're definitely still chaotic. Like, I don't want to make a claim that this is too easy.
It's so easy, right? kick your feet up and let Odeer make you millions. Not gonna happen with this. And I think you touched on one of the beauties of franchising. It's like, you're the owner. Do what you want to do, right? And as you get in and you're touching all aspects of the business, if you're sitting there going, I like doing this, not so much that, guess what you're going to hire for that you don't want to do. And then be able to kind of grow from there. And then, so we, I'm guessing we don't need we're certainly not a brick and mortar retail thing. Do we need an office or anything, or can this really be, kind of a home, like a home-based business to begin?
Yeah, it is home-based business, for sure. The only thing that you really need as far as way of storage, is we need a place to store the product. And so that comes in barrels as small as like 20 gallons. So it doesn't take up a huge amount of space. If you have a garage or a shed, something along those lines, that works perfect. And then a space to park the truck. And as long as you have those two things, then there's really nowhere that you couldn't get started. Yeah. Obviously, as you grow and continue to build that empire, we do have franchisees that have full-blown shops and things along those lines. But that's all part of that kind of growth plan.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, your owner that's got 25 trucks out there, that's probably not still home based. He's got, or she's got some sort of physical location for all the stuff, right?
For sure. The kind of funny thing is, it is technically home based because he bought a property that has a house on it that he converted to his office. But it is very much so a commercial space.
Gotcha. And then what kind of stuff do we need? Obviously, there's some sort of vehicle with this. What are we starting out with?
Yeah, so you start out with an Isuzu kind of flatbed truck. We have a provider that builds out the entire thing, so you don't have to think through that whole process, which is kind of nice. But that truck's going to have a 500-gallon tank on it for the tick and mosquito spray. It's going to have a 100-gallon tank on it for the deer control, and all of the other equipment that comes with that. And so the backpack sprayer for the deer control, all the pump equipment, extra gas tanks. We get pretty granular with what's in that truck, as well as like a small tool bag and other things, so that the franchisees don't have to go and figure out some of the stuff on their own. And that all just kind of gets delivered to them at training.
Gotcha. Essentially, like, here's your startup package. Don't think about it. Just like, it's coming, right? So, yeah. And then you'll talk to them. Part of that goal setting, I'm guessing, is the metrics of, hey, when you get to a certain number of customers, now it is time to add that second or that next truck, probably mm-hmm. that next kind of technician. So really kind of taking the guesswork about of all of that, correct?
Yes, 100%. And it really is aligned with what their goal is. And so we get some franchisees, like I said, in that are like, oh, we want to get to 3 trucks as soon as possible. And it's like, okay, well, we'll set that goal. Here's right. the marketing dollars you need to spend. Here's the conversion rate you need to hit. And here's, you know, the runway that you have in order to order the truck to make sure that there's not any hiccups along the way.
Right. They don't just have like hundreds of these trucks sitting around fully stocked. It takes a little time to get that, but you've hit on this a couple times, and I think it's really important for people to understand is, oh dear, isn't, if I come in as a franchise owner, oh dear, isn't telling me, Tim, your goal is this and you need to do it. Like, it is really collaborative because I am the owner. And if I say, hey, I think one is enough for me forever, great, that's what it looks like. Or if it's the one like, no, the person has 25. How do I get to, like, I want to kick his ass at some point. How do I get there? Right. You guys can kind of help really formulate that plan. But at any point in time that changes, I want to ramp it up more, or I want to kind of status quo it. You guys aren't breathing down my neck to go, I don't know, Tim, you said your goal was this, or we're dictating that. It's really collaborative, but it's that owner's, like, mm-hmm. owner's kind of driving it. You guys are helping them get there, essentially, correct?
Yeah, that is completely correct. And sometimes it's a double-edged sword even for us. We don't have any minimum sales requirements, anything along those lines. The only thing that we have that's kind of set in stone is a minimum marketing spend. And as long as you're meeting that marketing spend, then, and you're running your business and you're kind of in compliance with the franchise agreement, obviously, then we're just going to keep helping you get to whatever your goal is.
Yep. And part of the beauty of the subscription model is I'm going to guess the customer retention is through the roof for mm-hmm. this. So get the customer, show up and do what you say you're supposed to be doing. You've got a customer for, maybe I'm being a little too exaggerating with customer for life, but they're going to be with you for a long time from that standpoint. But you do still, you're always spending the marketing dollars because you always want to be able to grow with that. What are some other things that maybe owners are doing locally to drive traffic and get some new customers?
Yeah. So one of our favorite things is we have what's called the TIC program. So it's stands for Take Initiative, Check Kids. And it's an opportunity for franchisees to go out and find local preschools that obviously have their target demographic attending, right. But they're providing a free service to that preschool. And so they're providing a free tick and mosquito spray. But we have coloring books, temporary tattoos, stuffed animals, all kinds of stuff that we're leaving behind with those kids. So that hopefully that makes it in the way of their parents' hands, obviously.
Right.
But it's a really fun experience to go out, and most of the preschools are allowing some sort of education to go along with that. We also do a very similar thing called TIC9, which is for canines. So identifying local, either like doggy daycares or something along those lines, to just get in front of the more vulnerable parts of our population that don't know how to check themselves and protect themselves, right. type of a thing.
Yeah.
But also to get in front of the people that are spending money on that part of the population.
Gotcha. No, that's super cool. And I think anytime you can do something that's fun and helping the kids. And again, like I'm sitting here on your temporary tattoos. You should be bringing those to franchise conferences, I think, in the future, and see how many people you can get rolling around there with an oh dear temporary tattoo.
For sure.
So, talk a little bit about maybe other things from a support standpoint. talk about things from the marketing, that all the kind of that one-on-one attention from goal setting and kind of like having that mentorship program is fantastic. Anything else that maybe we haven't talked about support wise that you're like, oh man, we are great at helping people with this. What would that be?
I would say just overall communication of where they're at, whether that's peer to peer or from us to them. We have a monthly franchisee call that is very much so geared towards, in the beginning, because we are selfish, we are franchisors. We tell them what we want to tell them first. Right. But then it's opened up to them of like an open forum of like, hey, this is a round table now. If you have any issues, anything you want to talk about, let's kind of discuss that. We also do a weekly kind of newsletter with updates. And that can be anything from, you know, franchisee X did this wonderful thing that we want to share with you, or they got this review that was really cool. We also have our annual event. So we bring everybody out, get together. That's not unique to us, though. That's pretty much every franchise. But I would say mostly it really just is the individualized attention of, you know, what do you need? How can we help you?
Yeah.
That's kind of how we view the whole franchise, is that, yes, it's the Odeer brand, and we technically own that. But without our franchisees, that brand would still be a single location. And so it's all about them.
Yeah. I think one of the hidden things from a support standpoint, and as you know, not every franchise is great at this, is really kind of fostering that collaboration with owners, right? Like, I don't care how great your training and support is from the franchisor standpoint, nobody knows it better than other owners, right? And you're talking about that from a mentorship program and really creating that environment where they can communicate with one another. I don't ever think we talk about that enough in franchising, probably because some brands don't do it or aren't very good at it. But it's super cool that you guys are really from the get-go doing that.
I think we all know that franchisees are going to talk to each other regardless.
Right.
And so why not create the space for that to happen rather than just try and react once it does?
Right. Kind of can help control the narrative and the hopefully the things are from, there's always going to be negative stuff. I mean, folks, like if you're a franchise owner, like, you know, what's going to hit the fan at some point, something's going to go wrong. It's not all rainbows and unicorns or friendly deer, right? Like there's stuff that's going to go wrong. But making sure that it can always be like, hey, yes, but here's the positive twist to it. This is how you work through it. I've been there. Let me show you how I did that. And again, you guys from the top down are really making sure that happens, which is fantastic. You're still a relatively small brand in the grand scheme of things. Mm-hmm. How do you, what's the plan from the franchisor standpoint? It's easy to have one-on-one attention, right? It's like being in a college class and there's 20 people. Well, man, I got to pay attention because that professor is probably going to actually know my name. I'm in a big hall with 500 people. Like, who cares? How do you keep that individual component as you guys grow?
I think a lot of that is through the mentorship program, because it is, it, no matter how large we grow, if that new franchisee coming on board is getting individualized attention from somebody, then that support is still going to be there. We've talked a lot about it internally, about what we want our metrics to be as far as how many franchisees per franchise coach, those types of things. And so we're very in tune with wanting to keep that attention. And we're planning kind of our own budget and growth and all of that from the franchisor side to be able to make sure that that happens.
Good. And I love it, 'cause I think there's, as you well know, there are some brands out there that grow way too fast. And on the surface, that seems like, oh, wow, look how fast they're growing. But if it's way beyond their support, what's going to end up happening, they're going to have a whole bunch of very, how do I say this, pissed off owners, from that standpoint. So again, you guys are very thoughtful in the approach. There's metrics, you know, how many, you know, like, hey, we got, just like with the franchise owner, you got this many customers, it's time for another truck. You guys are looking, we've got this many franchise owners, it's time for somebody else internal to be able to support them. So love that plan. And again, it's also nice when you can use, maybe utilize is the better word, the other franchise owners from that mentorship program. Cause I'm guessing you, the owners that are part of the mentorship or the mentors, they're probably getting a lot out of that as well. One, mm-hmm. just being able to give back, but that still can be a learning environment for them as well.
Definitely. Yeah. We just received that feedback recently from one of our oldest franchisees. That was like, this program has been great for me. It's made me rethink some of the things I'm doing.
Yeah.
And, you know, what my own conversion rate is. And then they brought us this whole plan on how they were going to reach out to their dead leads. And it's like, oh, wow. Okay.
Like, nice.
You've already built a strong business, but even you're realizing through this mentorship program that, like, hey, there's more I could even be doing.
I love that
circular benefit.
I want to throw one last thing at you, and again, trying to be respectful of your time, and thank you for all the stuff on ODEAR. Anything else that we haven't talked about that you really want to make sure folks know about ODEAR?
That we're really picky. We're not, as you mentioned, we're not that brand that's going to, you're not going to see a record of ODEAR expands by 300 units in this one single year.
And thank you for that.
we're looking for the right people that are going to maintain the culture and kind of maintain the status quo that we have now, but be able to kind of replicate success over and over again still. I mean, we'll sign a handful of units this year, but we'll deny probably three times that many. And it's from the top down, and it's been really refreshing from my Fran Dev perspective to know that the owners of this company are wanting to replicate kind of the lifeblood of what created it, not just accept another contract and things along those lines. The other thing is just that it really is the mission of enjoy more time outside. And that's kind of a core tenet that runs through everything that ODEAR does.
Yeah.
And so that's what we want for people. We want them to be able to be outside, to get, you know, that sunlight exposure, things along those lines, shake hands, kiss babies, but in real life.
Right. or as the kids say, IRL. So get with it, Jeremy. Because what we really want is we want a 56-year-old bald man telling you about the HIP codes to be using. So the word culture is probably overused at times, but I just, like, I want to share with like all 7 or 8 of our listeners is that I've known you for a long time and always really enjoy working with you. Just you're genuinely good human being and
thank you.
So, but we are, I don't know, probably within a few days of having a Fran Coach client become a ODEAR franchise owner, and her experience going through this has just been like, I think from the very beginning felt at home with everybody on the team. So all those things you're talking about really resonate. And this was somebody who, again, greatly enjoys the outdoors, right? Didn't want to be overwhelmed with big or pushy or anything like that. Really wanted to feel kind of like have that family component to it. And there may be somebody listening out there and is like, oh, I don't want to, like, I don't go outside. I don't want to, like, you know, like people, just give me the business and get out of my way. Well, that's fine. There are those out there who will help you find it. But again, it's, you guys aren't just saying that, and it's one thing for you to say it, like it's your job to say it basically. But I just I wanted to share with everybody from my experience and somebody that she doesn't know this yet, but I will bully her into being a guest on the Franchise 101 podcast to kind of share this journey. Just fantastic. Everything you're saying is, you're probably underselling that family focused culture, being picky, trying to make sure that you're really getting that right partner in there versus just, can you fog a mirror and can you pay the franchise fee? And there are brands out there like that. And thank you guys so much for not being one. So I just wanted to kind of share that from our experience as well. So, keep, keep doing what you're doing. You and I well know the ones that are not doing things the right way. And so I appreciate you guys for being there. So, and thank you again for taking some time to come on here and chat with us about Oh Dear.
Awesome. It's been my pleasure.
Thanks so much, Jeremy. And hopefully we've got a little more Oh Dear coming here in the next month or so with somebody as a new franchise owner. So let me knock on wood and not jinx that, but should be good. So thanks so much again for coming on, Jeremy. All right. I want to thank everybody for joining us today. And of course, Jeremy Shelton from Oh Dear. We hope for all of our loyal podcast listeners that the Franchisee 101 podcast continues to provide some insight into the amazing possibilities that can be achieved as a franchise owner. Be sure to check us out, all of our social media things, wherever you get your podcasts. If you haven't, do us a little favor. Give us hopefully a 5-star review somewhere in there. Follow us, subscribe to us. Don't forget about our YouTube, new and improved YouTube channel. Does have our podcast there. It's got our Franchising 360 TV show there, and a whole bunch of other things. And when you are ready to learn more about franchising, check us out. We are at francoach.net. The Franchising 101 podcast equals FranCoach. We are here. There's never any fee for our service. When you're ready to learn more to see if this might be the path, we are here to help you create your better tomorrow. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.